We hear a lot about a new normal today, don't we? We experienced it after 9/11. I mean, those who were born in 2001, oddly enough, were born into the great tragedy of 9/11 and are graduating this year into the great tragedy of coronavirus as well. And so they have an interesting generation. But for those born before that and older than that, we remember the time pre-9/11 when we go to the airport and none of these things would be there. You know, now we see Homeland Security with inspection lines and security and airport security. We never had to worry about that. We were not taking off our shoes and our belts and everything else to get into line. We could see our loved ones off, up on top, and just before they enter the gate. Now we have to say goodbye at the bottom. The escalators, they go on up to their sections. Now we see turnstiles and bag inspections at sporting events and conferences and the like. We see big, large traffic barricades and cones outside stores and government offices. There's a new normal since 9/11. And there's a new normal now today. A lot can happen in a few months. 6 months ago, we were going through our normal routines, right? Working out at the gym, going to school. We had date nights. We had friends coming over for dinner. We had spring and summer plans like wedding plans and graduation plans, vacation plans. Everything was normal. Everything felt right. But now everything has changed and feels upside down. Who would have ever suspected that we would go from normal to thousands of people dying from COVID-19, to millions of Americans unexpectedly filing for unemployment, to most of the world told they can't even leave their homes? Right now, we're headed into an unknown future, aren't we? Social distancing, face masks, rubber gloves. Someone suggested maybe there'll be a return to ladies' gloves like in the 1950s. And then the even changes in blowing up birthday candles forever. I don't know about you, but now all of a sudden I get weirded out when I see somebody blowing out the candles on the birthday cake before cutting it up and passing it around to people. This whole quarantine and shutdown thing may be the right thing to do, but the walls seem to be closing in on us every single day, right? Every day is like waking up on Groundhog's Day, same people, same routine, same place as you left off with yesterday. On top of that, you have the news and social media shouting, here are the latest numbers of infections and hospitalizations and deaths. It's overwhelming, and this thing is beginning to get to all of us. Our relationships, our physical health, our mental health, our faith is being tested right now. I know there have been worse pandemics in the world. But at the rate and speed which we get our news and communicate around the world today, this is the first time in the history of all humanity that the entire world cannot leave their homes. I mean, we're living in a time that will be listed in our grandkids and our great-grandkids' history books. I try to be optimistic. I tell myself and my family that we don't need to panic. We don't need to worry. Instead, we just got to stay safe and be wise, and eventually this whole thing is going to end. I try to keep my faith that God loves us, that God wants what's good for us. When my grandkids are praying and wonder why God doesn't answer their prayers, I have to say it's complicated. That God is still listening to us all the time. He just doesn't always answer our prayers in the way and timing that we want him to. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, why not? God, why does it feel like you aren't listening to our cries? I want to go back to the old normal, I got to admit. But the idea of normal as we know it is over. You realize that, right? There will be no return totally to the old normal. The life of the church today is affected. When we were allowed to open briefly for 3 short weeks, we initiated several safety guidelines to protect the congregants of our church. We limited it to 25% of our capacity. We had masks. We had 6-foot family distancing. We had air purifier installed. No. We had no contact temperature checks at the door, not allowing anyone in unless they showed no fever. I had this plexiglass installed at the pulpit. I honestly feel that Maranatha was one of the safest places that one could be at this time. But here in Riverside County, and along with the 32 other counties in California, churches with indoor services remain under lockdown orders once again, which by some reads of the guideline even include home Bible studies. May I say, I find that a little overkill, a lot of overkill, actually, even discriminatory. I don't mind if churches are treated fairly, along with all the other groups, the other organizations, the other businesses that are around. But I don't know of any organization but churches with home Bible study groups, do you? The life of Maranatha has changed, to be sure. How much longer will we not meet in the building? I don't know. But I do know that our new normal has also expanded this ministry like nothing else we've ever tried before in its entire history. Each week we have, on average, some 175 devices watching. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that turns on the device is also watching it through the entire duration, but it also doesn't mean there's only two eyeballs to every device. I know of families that have three or four around the one single device, so I think it's safe to say that we're reaching at least 175 people each and every weekend. And for a little church like ours, that is a blessing, to be sure. And yet we still long for the old normal. But you know, if we stay focused and stuck on an old normal, we may miss the opportunities that God has set before us. A church that doesn't pursue the new normal will never reach the next generation. And through this COVID crisis, we've come to realize that buildings are not a necessity. They're a blessing, yes, but they're not a necessity. COVID has opened our eyes that church is defined not as a building, but as a family, community, not a weekend service that we attend. It's helped us appreciate the importance of being a family, a family that goes together to love and serve and meet the needs in Jesus' name, sharing the life and hope and dignity that Jesus offers. And a family that grows together, strengthening each other's faith, caring for one another. And the question I have for you this morning, what if normal isn't something to get back to, but to look forward to? Where we go next in the ministry, and online is only one example, will not depend on returning back to the way things were before, if we look forward to doing the things the way God wants us to be doing them in the first place. Lives of individuals and our families are affected too, with statewide and national infections going up as we speak this weekend. Individuals are also being asked, encouraged, directed in some cases, to continue practicing safer lifestyles. Many school districts across our state and across the nation are declining to physically open again in the fall, meaning families will be relearning all over again how to juggle work and school and childcare. With some non-essential businesses remaining closed and continuing government assistance or subsidy programs in question, we also have some financial concerns to deal with. People naturally have questions, they have concerns, they have worries. When the dust eventually settles, what will we all look like? Will we go back to the way we were, or into a whole new something? You know, as they stay at the edge of the Red Sea with the wall of water ahead of them and the oncoming army of Egypt behind the Israelites, felt some of these same things. If we could just go back to the way it was. Exodus 14, verse 10 reads, "As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up in panic when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, 'Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" The people were scared, and understandably so. They wanted the old normal life back. It was terrible back then. They were making bricks, not just making bricks, but Pharaoh had decided they needed to make bricks without being given straw. They had to go collect their own straw, make the bricks, and keep the quota going at the same time. But they preferred the old lifestyle to the unknown life they were experiencing now. What was the response? Exodus 14, 13, "But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again.'" We laugh now at the Israelites and their lack of faith, but when this pandemic is over, will we too want to go back to our Egypt? Running ragged with overly full schedules, the sports schedules, the family obligations, the activities, or what if in the midst of this strange season of life, God has lovingly hit the pause on the madness of old normal? What if God is trying to get us and our attention? This pandemic is not from God, I can assure you that, but he certainly can use it for his benefit and for his glory. I think it's important not to overlook what God may be giving us from it all. We can try to return to everything we once had, or we can look for something better. Someone did a study and found that 88% of the Fortune 500 from 1955 were no longer on the list just 50 years later. To reverse that, only 12% were still on the list 50 years later, choosing to stick with what worked for them before, rather than taking advantage of the changing culture, the changing environment, the changing time. Neglected the need to explore new territory and to grow with the new normal. For example, founded in 1985, Blockbuster became the premier location to buy rent videos. At its peak in 2004, Blockbuster employed more than 84,000 people worldwide and had 9,000 stores. But just 6 years later, they had filed for bankruptcy. The video chain survived the transition from VHS to DVD just fine, but then failed to adapt to the next big change. See, Blockbuster had excessive late fees and ignored the many consumers who struggled to return their rentals within the stipulated 24-hour time frame. Soon, Netflix started sending videos through the mail. Cable and phone companies started offering video on demand. Redbox started renting videos for a buck a night through vending machines. Why suffer with Blockbuster when there were easier alternatives? What's interesting to me is that Netflix had approached Blockbuster early on with two partnership proposals. First, Netflix asked Blockbuster to advertise their brand in their stores while Netflix would run Blockbuster online. When Blockbuster declined that offer, they then offered to sell their company for $50 million, that's million with an M, which was also declined. Today, Blockbuster is only a memory of its earlier self, and Netflix is now a $28 billion, that's billion with B, company. Here's another. Founded by George Eastman in 1888, Kodak began selling inexpensive cameras and making large profits from selling consumables like film and chemicals and paper. By 1976, Kodak commanded 90% of all film sales and 85% of camera sales in the United States. But Kodak was inflexible. They believed that they were the only option. Rather than looking for innovation, they stayed with what got them to that point. Ironically, Kodak had invested billions of dollars in taking pictures using digital devices, but they didn't pursue it. Why not? Because they didn't want to affect its all-important film business. Kodak even acquired a photo-sharing website called Ophoto in 2001. However, instead of becoming what might have become a predecessor to our Instagram of today, Kodak only used Ophoto to try to get people to print more digital images. Kodak's chief competitor, Polaroid, became a hit in 1972 when they introduced the SX70 with pictures that developed as you watched. In the late 90s, Polaroid was at its peak, but Polaroid also was unable to anticipate the impact that digital cameras would have on its film business. And Polaroid ended up filing bankruptcy in 2001. Kodak followed 11 years later. When web search and aggregation were still brand new, the pioneering Yahoo.com tried to charge for services like email and file sharing, while that little upstart, Google, was offering everything for free. Customers flocked to Google, which surged a commanding lead, and that still holds today. Oddly enough, Yahoo also missed out on some big opportunities that could have saved them. For example, in 2002, they almost had a deal to buy Google, but the CEO of Yahoo refused to go through with the deal. And in 2006, 4 years later, Yahoo had a deal to buy another unknown, Facebook. But when Yahoo lowered their original offer, Mark Zuckerberg backed out. You know, one of the favorite phrases at my house, my wife is fond of saying, is, well, I'm going to Google that. If anything comes up, we don't know. She says, I'm Googling that. Well, here's the thing. If Yahoo had seen the new normal growing around them and taken a few additional risks, maybe we'd all be Yahooing instead of all Googling. History is full of companies that didn't recognize their new normal quite fast enough. AOL. Some of you may recall disk coming in the mail, like every day a disk coming in the mail, right? Or Sony with its Walkman, very popular product until the MP3 came out. And then both were destroyed market-wise by the smartphone. Then there was MapQuest, an attempted competitor to Google Maps, and GPS mapping products like the Garmin or the TomTom, products you could put in your car and would actually tell you where to go and how to find your location. Now, obviously replaced nowadays by the smartphone again. We live in a time of such exponential change that every new normal becomes outdated before we can even adjust to it. That's why we must always be looking forward. We cannot stand still as individuals, as families, as a church. We certainly can't go back. You know, God doesn't always remove our suffering. I wish he did, but he doesn't. But at the same time, I know he never wastes that suffering either. We know that in all things, God knows and loves us. And I believe that even in a time that has brought us a global pandemic, God does the same. Ultimately, God uses it for our good, even when we can't see how it's going to work out. I don't know why God chooses to work that way, but I'm trying to trust in him. Trusting in the concept that God can leverage my suffering for eventually my good. Trusting that God is preparing us for something better in the future, to grow us, to strengthen us, to teach us, to wake us up. You may not agree with all that, but humor me here. Consider, if that were true, what could possibly be teaching us right now? What could he be teaching us with this pandemic? This feeling we have right now, you know, is essentially grief. We're grieving for the old normal. I want kids to go back to school so they can be with their friends. When we can go back to our jobs and our friends. To go back at a time when we're not excessively worrying about our loved ones. I admit it, I miss the old normal. At the same time, though, I'm also learning that the old normal wasn't working for me. It just took a global pandemic and a stay-in-place order to see it. To find all my identity and self-worth in my breakneck speed, God wasn't working for me. And this has been happening for years now, giving myself no grace as a husband or as a parent. A growing inability to keep my cool. The pandemic has taught us that Netflix is not a good substitute for joy. That social media isn't a good substitute for good, deep relationships. I know we miss it right now, but for a minute, I want you to think about the old normal. It's pretty crazy, wasn't it? I mean, some of the stuff you're praying for now is the stuff you were praying to get away from 6 or 7 months ago. Many of us were controlled by fear and depression long before there was a virus to fight. Every morning you'd wake up to Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and email and HBO and Netflix, and then you had to take the kids to school in the morning, you got to hit the gym before you go to the work, and then you rush at the job, then you get off in time to pick the school kids up from school, home in time for dinner, and when you're winding down your day, well, it's back to Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and email and HBO and Netflix all over again. I'm starting to learn that maybe I don't want to get back to all the old normal after all. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. If we really believe that, if we really believe that God can use all things for our good, then what if in this strange time we're living in, God has hit the pause button on our old normal? What if he's trying to get our attention right now, lovingly whispering in our ears, the old normal wasn't working for you. Your schedule is killing you and you are going nonstop. You were taking your friends and relationships for granted, distracting yourself with meaningless things to the point you can't think straight. No time to give to your marriage, to your family, to your relationships, even to your God. What if he's teaching us he never wanted the old normal for us in the first place? What if he's saying, I want to introduce you to a new normal, a better normal? What if he's doing something like David described in Psalm 18, verse 16? He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. He attacked me in a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. What if that's what he's doing right now? What if he's telling us he doesn't want us to go back into the drowning chaos of the old normal? What if he wants us to take us out of a lifestyle that is driving us further into depression and fear and anxiety? What if he's got something better in store for us? Instead, what if he wants to bring us into a place of safety, like the psalmist wrote? What if God is telling us to stop the chaos of old normal, to take a breath and take the time to make changes now that are necessary to get real peace in our life again? To have a life where you're not looking at your performance to tell you who you really are. Where we're developing deep and meaningful relationships without numbing ourselves with distractions. See, with God, there's always life after death. There's always light after darkness. And if we learn from him, if we lean into him, I believe that you and I can experience a new normal after we get through this crisis we're in. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look together and what new normal could look like for us. A new understanding about proper priorities and agendas for our life. A new understanding about time and how we use it. A new understanding about the big picture, seeing that God is up to something good and we want to be a part of it. A new normal way of life, living life on purpose and on mission. This is our calling. How we live our life says about the God that we serve. That we live life with convictions based on our commitments. And we cannot let compromise get in our way. In the coming weeks, some of the areas we'll be rethinking about together include our relationships and our finances and our identity. But right now this morning, I'm asking you to be thinking about this for yourself as well. Life after the pandemic, what will it look like? What will we have to change? What preparations can we make now for the new normal, beginning today? Start looking at your life right now. What is it that needs to a new normal, a new reset in your life? We have more time on our hands than ever. So what could a new normal look like for your marriage, for your family, for your ministry? We miss our friends now more than ever. So what could a new normal look like in our relationships? What are the changes we need to make to get there? The way we look at ourselves, the way we spend our money, the approach to our job, whatever it is for you, we have an opportunity now to hit restart, to make the changes necessary to enjoy a wide open new normal. I don't know what it's going to look like for you, but I do believe this is a watershed moment for all of us, each and every one of us. Remember, faith looks forward. It doesn't look back. God doesn't want us to take back a time to making bricks without straw. Today, we just have to answer one simple question. What path will we choose? Are we going back to the old normal and the chaos we were drowning in? Or are we going to allow God to use the season of our life, as weird, as uncomfortable, as frustrating as it is? Are we going to allow him to use it to make something beautiful in our life? Let us pray. Lord God, we pray that you will please continue to bring hope to the brokenhearted, to those who are sick or have lost loved ones, those overwhelmed with fear and loneliness and worry and anxiety, those who've lost their jobs and are unemployed. And God, please help us learn something from the middle of this pandemic. We do miss the old normal, but God, please don't let us return to the old chaos that we were drowning in. Please let us see what it could look like to live a new normal, a new time where we've traded in distractions for intentional efforts to building a better normal. Now, some of you may be hearing about this new normal, and it may mean you desire a whole new you, that you're not ready. Your body, your soul is not ready to take on this new normal. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul wrote, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." If that's you, if that's your desire to have this new you that God puts in our life, well, I encourage you to say this prayer right now where you are, whether you're sitting on a sofa or in a car seat or at your desk, that you pray this prayer. Father God, I am a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And today, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I believe that he died so that I can be forgiven. And I believe he rose again to give me life. I receive this new life right now. This is my new beginning and my new normal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer with me right now, then you are now a part of his kingdom. You are now a child of God. He loves you and wants the very best for you. And all of these verses, all this we've been talking this morning, and we'll continue to talk in the next few weeks, applies to you if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And I commend you for that. If you've made that decision today, if you could just put in the chat room that I accept him. I have accepted Jesus. And so now we go into our final time of praise, and I wish you all the best of luck, the best of life, and a great new week. Amen.